aggressive voice of Minnesota. As you may have heard Matt McNeil say during the last hour, the inmates are in charge of the asylum during the 4 o'clock hour. That's right. It is a producer-run show here on AM 950. Joined by a couple of co-hosts today, Hunter Haas. Hunter, how you doing today?
Hello. It's good to be on this side of the glass for once.
I know. It's kind of weird, this like strange perspective. It's odd. We'll have to see if we can make this last year. Also joined by, in the production booth, Sam Turnberg. Sam, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm pretty comfortable staying on this side. I like this side of the booth here, but it's
Sam,
fun.
Sam is still our connection to the normal side of the glass. If you're not familiar with the setup on AM 950, the producers and the show hosts are both in two separate rooms, and they can only see each other through a pane of glass. So Hunter and I are on the other side. We have crossed over.
I can't even see Hunter. I can see the tip of... There we go. Good radio, all the visuals, right?
Absolutely. If you're on Facebook, you can maybe watch us, although it sounds like our internet isn't quite cooperating today. But if you head over to the AM 950 Facebook page, you might be able to watch us today. But I think the old internet not behaving on a Friday afternoon, so you might not be able to see us. But you can always listen on am950radio.com.
I have it recording, too, so maybe we can find that video if it doesn't stream, so...
There we go. Very good. So I was kind of joking with these guys before the show. I think our number one goal is to make sure that the station stays afloat when we're on air. So I think one of the ways you can tell is if you drive by the palatial AM 950 studios in Eden Prairie by about 5 o'clock, and if the station is not on fire, I think we've survived our shift.
Yep, if we're still afloat, we haven't drowned.
Absolutely drowned. Yeah, we are kind of located in a swampy area, yeah. So who knows, we could end up sinking too. Anyways, though, let's get into some politics. That's actually what we're supposed to talk about here on
AM 950. That's what we do here.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a couple of big overarching issues we're going to be talking about here during the first two or three segments of the show. Then to kind of cap things off at the end of the show, we'll have some different ways where Hunter and Sam have some ideas on how you and maybe even your kids or grandkids can get involved in politics, especially if you have any young kids that, you know, maybe were inspired by the March for Our Lives rally during the Parkland shootings. We have some different ways that you can get involved with that. And then, of course, we'll kind of close the show with a segment I used to do in a previous radio life in a small town in Iowa, Stupid News, although this one will have a bit of a political bent with Donald Trump because, well, there's no shortage of stupid news when it comes to Donald Trump.
No, there is plenty out there nowadays.
Yeah, and this one's actually a hilarious story about the ultimate toddler-like behavior that President Trump has. In fact, I don't even like calling him President Trump. I'd rather just call him Donald Trump.
But... Donald Duck.
Exactly. But before we get to that fun, though, we want to talk about Minnesota politics and a couple of big issues. One of them is kind of an overview of the governor's race and some of our thoughts on that and how Tim Pawlenty could impact the Republicans, and then also how Lori Swanson changed the Democratic race. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Also, I want to touch on a subject that a few of our callers have been mentioning, and that is this very controversial land swap that both Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith have supported that has really upset a lot of, well, the Democratic base. So we'll get to that a little bit later along. And then also later in the show, if we have time, this is a subject I might want to touch on. It's private insurance and the individual market. I don't know if you saw today, but today the state released some projections for individual premiums coming up this fall. These are just projections. They're not set in stone, but premiums actually projected to go down next year. So the question is that because Donald Trump is actually making America great again?
or
is there something else at play? We might have time to get to that a little bit later on in the show. But first up, I want to touch on the governor's race because Hunter, Sam, you guys have been doing some research here on the governor's race. I have as well. And one of these characters we've been looking at here, I call him character because he had such a disastrous governorship, is Tim Pawlenty getting back into politics. I was actually down, as I mentioned, I think last week, streaming the GOP convention, state convention that took place in Duluth on behalf of Mike McEntee with the Uptake. And I was really surprised by how anti-Tim Pawlenty the GOP base was. So, Hunter, I know you've done some research on this. I want you to talk about how could Tim Pawlenty impact Republicans down ballot coming up this fall?
Yeah, so when Pawlenty decided to enter the race, it definitely made things interesting having such a prominent figure back. I mean, he's without question a big name, a former presidential candidate. However, Are the Republican base and general Minnesotans fond of Pawlenty? Are they wishing for a third term from him?
Ooh, yikes. Hope not.
So, I mean, Pawlenty left with pretty low approval ratings for a governor. He had just 42% approval with 52% disapproving. And for governors, usually they're always above that 50% mark. His electoral history, I've always been close races. In his re-election campaign, he only won by 1% to Mike Hatch. And I know Brett can touch up on why that might have happened. And in his initial election, there was a third-party candidate, Tim Penny, that really took a lot of votes away from the left in that race, Roger Moe. And so he's squeaked by in his elections in governor in the past. And my general feeling when I talk with people is there's no fond memories of Pawlenty. His presidential campaign, similar to his governor campaigns, he ran. He was in the race for about 4 months, and after
was it even that long? It feels like he dropped out right away.
It was a couple of months. He entered in May and left in August, so 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
He got third place in the Ames straw poll in Iowa and then ended his presidential campaign. He only had 13% of the vote behind second place Ron Paul and the winner, Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, man.
Which shows it was Minnesota friendly there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, getting stuck with a weak gubernatorial candidate doesn't simply mean losing the governor's race. It also impacts fundraising, media attention, and more important, turnout on election day. In other words, a weak candidate hurts down ballot candidates too. So I really want to hear from you guys and our callers what they think, how Tim Pawlenty will impact those other Republicans on the ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Hey, even on the other side of the glass, I think I can still give that phone number. Repeated by Matt and Mike so many of those times. But yeah, give us a ring, 952-946-6205. If you have some thoughts on Tim Pawlenty and could he help or hurt Republicans down ballot? Because I think that is a real key question because Republicans, of course, are trying to fight to keep control of the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has a real negative effect, because I think, as you said, so many people don't have good memories of him, could he end up sinking a lot of these GOP candidates?
And to be honest, this is a very tough year for Republicans. Like, they got an uphill battle to begin with. If they don't love their top of the ticket, it's going to be hard, in my opinion.
Well, and just to expand on that point, virtually every single midterm, I think this goes back all the way well over 100 years, the president's party always mm-hmm. loses seats during a midterm elections. There's only been three exceptions to that. One was in 1934 when, of course, we had FDR mm-hmm. as president and Democrats didn't lose seats. And that was mostly because of the Great Depression and how most people blamed Republicans for the Depression. The next one was in 1998 when Bill Clinton, of course, was president. Democrats didn't lose seats that election, mostly because, well, we had Republicans trying to impeach him. And then the third exception was 2002. And back in 2002, we, of course, had all those 9/11 scares and state security and that kind of thing. So that's one of the reasons why Republicans didn't lose seats in 2002. So just to kind of go off on my tangent here, that's one of the reasons why I'm very bullish on Democrats' chances, because we've only seen three instances where the president's party has not lost seats in a midterm election. It's either taken a Great Depression, which if we get, that's certainly going to be blamed on the Republicans since they're in control of everything, and God forbid we don't get anything like that. The second one, of course, an impeachment, and well, Democrats can't impeach anyone. They're not in control of Congress. And then the third one is, of course, a terrorist attack, which hopefully we don't get that either.
And it's pretty clear to see that the Democratic base is fired up right now in opposition to Trump, that all things are pointing to great success electorally for the Democrats.
So, Hunter, we have confirmation that we indeed are on the air. The station has not burned down yet because we have our first caller ready to chime in. We have Jeff in Minneapolis who wants to chime in on Tim Pawlenty. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a ex-Northwest Airlines striking mechanic, and at the time I had 20 years, didn't get my job back. And I had called Tim Pawlenty's office to ask him for help to come in and try to mediate that strike. and basically heard crickets. Tim Pawlenty, in my opinion, allowed a Minnesota-based company, Northwest Airlines, to go out of business. The mechanic strike did cost Northwest dearly in putting them into bankruptcy, and he sat on his hands and did absolutely nothing. And to me, that's a travesty, and that's a stain on his reputation.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call. That's something I completely forgot about that happened during Pawlenty's administration, that Northwest Airlines, of course, went out of business.
Yeah, yeah, that and that's huge for Minnesota. I mean, what was a more prominent Minnesota company? We have big ones. That was one of the bigger ones.
I mean, you kind of have the big ones, General Mills, Best Buy, Target. Northwest Airlines was one of them, and that, of course, happened under Tim Pawlenty's watch. So we're coming up on a break here on AM 950. Love to hear from you, though, and your thoughts on Tim Pawlenty. Will he help or hurt Republicans down ballot? Also coming up during the next segment, we're going to get into some analysis of the DFL primary race as well. So love to hear from you. 952-946-6205. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwell with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis or at NokomisCycle.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, what are you doing up here on the roof?
I want to tell the world I just met the woman of my dreams. What about you?
I want to tell the world that Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Liberty did what?
They saved me $782.
Oh, you go first then. $782 really puts finding love into perspective.
Visit us online to get a quote and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's a producer-hosted show today. Jeez, I'm already tripping over my words there, Hunter. Brett Johnson, Hunter Hawes, Sam Turnberg in the sound booth helping us out today. We're talking local politics today and highlighting the governor's race for the next few minutes. Before the break, Hunter, you and I were kind of analyzing Tim Pawlenty's impact on GOP candidates down ticket. But one of the things you mentioned before we got into that discussion was, well, both of Tim Pawlenty's elections. And of course, you mentioned back in 2002 how he won, basically because there was a strong third party candidate at that point, being in the wake of Jesse Ventura. And of course, he won in 2006 against Mike Hatch. I think it was the last week of the campaign. Hatch made some very controversial remarks about a Republican reporter. that kind of ended up sinking him. So really, if you look at Pawlenty and his electoral history, I don't think he's ever gotten above 50%, and he's been very vulnerable. So you have to question, if he's facing a strong DFL challenger, how would that impact the GOP?
Yep, he has never been above 50%, 46 and 44. And yeah, that Mike Hatch situation is terrible timing. Having a controversy the week before election is just destined for failure.
I think it was almost just days before elections, because I remember just about every poll back in 2006 was showing that Mike Hatch was going to beat Tim Pawlenty. And then, of course, he had those unfortunate remarks, which we don't need to get into, but I think it was, I don't know, we won't even get into that, but we got some callers on the line for us right now. So let's go ahead and go to, waiting for Sam to get ready there. Let's go to Jim in St. Paul, one of our frequent callers. Jim, how you doing today? What are your thoughts on Tim Pawlenty?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't believe that he decided to run, because I don't think there's enough decent Republicans left. Now, I would never vote for Tim Pawlenty, but compared to the Trump-backed candidates, you know what I'm saying. I can't believe that there's enough. How could I put this? Because I wouldn't vote for either one of them. But I don't think there's enough center of the road Republicans left.
I don't think there's any left,
Pawlenty,
to be honest.
And I think Pawlenty is going to lose to Jeff Johnson.
Yeah, you're thinking of Jeff Johnson. And see, this is a conversation I might want to touch on with our producer, Sam, in just a second here, because when I was at the state convention for the GOP, I saw, and Jim, thank you very much for the call. Always appreciate you being a frequent listener here on AM 950. But I just noticed at that convention how anti-Tim Pawlenty the sentiment was. I mean, they were almost bad-mouthing him as much as they were Democratic candidates. So Sam, I know you have a relative in your family that is a Republican supporter, and you were thinking that, well, he would probably be pretty gung-ho on Pawlenty running for office, but it turns out he's also not very thrilled about him.
No, yeah, I totally thought that he was going to be like, yeah, let's go T-Paw, but right before the show, I sent him a text to find out, and no, he thinks, he said he'd vote for anyone that doesn't have a D by his name, so that's kind of where you get. There really are no center-of-the-road Republicans left anymore. But
so the point you're making is, yeah, he would still vote for the Republican, whether it's Pawlenty or Jeff Johnson, in the general election, but the enthusiasm wouldn't necessarily be there for Tim Pawlenty, which I think is very key, because Democrats have run into this before where they've had candidates that people say, well, I'm not going to vote for the Republican. I guess I will vote for the Democrat, but I'm not going to put a lot of energy into that election.
Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I was just going to go there. Yeah. Oh, boy, we're going to open up that can of worms.
And Brett, let me ask you, what was the enthusiasm like for Jeff Johnson at the convention?
So, as you know, when they endorse candidates, you have to get 60% of the vote to be fully endorsed. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with a couple other independent politicals that were there in the media providing analysis. And one of the guys said, on the first ballot, if Jeff Johnson doesn't get above 50%, he's going to be in trouble. And on that first ballot, he only got, I think it was 44 or 45%. Now, granted, he did end up winning the endorsement, I think, on the third or fourth ballot once a couple of the other fringe candidates dropped out. But it kind of seemed to me that the enthusiasm was kind of there, but if you can't even break 50% on that first ballot, it kind of exposes that maybe the fact that Jeff Johnson is very vulnerable as well. If you remember the history of him, he also ran for governor in 2014 in a very friendly Republican year and still ended up losing to Mark Dayton by a pretty significant margin. And in fact, a little known thing is that he actually, I think, ran for attorney general back in 2006 as well and lost to Lori Swanson. Oh, we have full phone lines already. Let's go ahead and go to Joe in Hopkins. She wants to chime in on Tim Pawlenty. Joe, how you doing today?
Hi, and how fun to have you guys on. It's great. Well, I'll tell you, I remember him stealing the money from the education funds and giving it away and putting our public education in the hole. That was one of the most huge awful things that he did.
Yeah, you're talking about how he basically just took one part of the education budget and just chucked it into another year.
Yeah. Now, if you're younger, you don't remember that maybe, but I sure do, and I can't remember if I was teaching special ed at the time. But I mean, he's a thief. Sorry. That's exactly what I'm saying. He stole from education to give to people who had money.
Oh, I'm thinking back to my former life. I actually used to be an accountant of all things, and that would seem to violate a lot of what they call generally accepted accounting principles. If you were just to take one part of a budget and just chuck it into another year, say, I'm not going to pay it this year. We'll just pay it back in 3-4 years, yeah. Which...
Well, that's why we wound up in the hole.
Absolutely.
And Dayton, you know, pulled us out, so...
Yeah,
anyway,
he actually did end up paying
you
that.
All. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
I'm thinking, as I'm hearing from the callers, that a Pawlenty nomination may actually do the opposite and energize the Democrat base much more. I mean, people seem worked up. I can hear the passion in the callers' voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Tim Pawlenty definitely kind of fires up the DFL base, similar to what, Sam, you were saying, how Hillary Clinton was kind of the big boogeyman for the Republicans nationally in 2016. You have to kind of wonder if Tim Pawlenty would have that same effect on the DFL here in 2018.
I have a feeling a lot of people didn't want to vote for Trump, but they were just like, man, I don't like Hillary. Especially then they bit their tongue there and they put that vote in for Trump, unfortunately.
Hey, we got some more callers on the line. We're going to go a little out of order here since we have Mark and Fridley who wants to talk about Pawlenty and Minnesota Republicans. Mark, good to hear from you. How are you doing today?
Hey, I just want to congratulate you guys. You guys are doing a heck of a job, and if Ian could do it and William could do it, you guys go for it.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm going to throw you an accounting joke because there is a huge gap in GAAP, if you know what I mean. But you got to look at...
Well done.
There's a pipeline between Washington, D.C. and Minnesota Republican politicians. Norm Coleman is a monster lobbyist for the state of Israel in Washington, D.C. Ben Weber is a huge lobbyist for defense contractors and the like. And Tim Pawlenty went from, you know, tanking the state of Minnesota and leaving us in a $6.2 billion hole. Which is what Republicans tend to do, put everything on a credit card and wait for somebody else to pick up the tab and then blame it on the people that weren't responsible. But for him to give up a gig where he was making close to $2 million a year, apparently, to come back and be the governor of the state of Minnesota for, what, you know, $190,000 or whatever the governor makes, you know, you got to look at the quid pro quo or the qui bono, who's going to benefit from that. And what we all need to take a look at is why the scientific statistics point out why, after like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama or Republicans won the presidency and maintained full control over the House and the Senate and the executive branch, why during the midterm elections they took a dive. And the reason is because politicians have to make a lot of promises to a lot of people. And to get elected, they have to say the right things. And when they get in charge, they turn around and they stab us in the back. And this is a reflection of what happens to both parties. So Doug made a very cogent comment yesterday about, like I said, you know, I'm praising Jennifer's knowledge, but we need a party that's going to protect us or serve us like Paul Wellstone. And so when you have a problem with both parties and when both parties are ignoring you, you know, there's a reason why Bernie Sanders says, you know, when somebody tells you who to vote for, don't listen to them. So we need progressives, actual progressives, to pop up and take charge. And again, you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark, one of our other frequent callers here on AM 950. Before we go to the break, let's get Gary in Minneapolis on the line. Hey, Gary, how are you doing today?
Good. I don't know exactly how that program works, but, you know, SNAP or food stamps, how the Republicans are always complaining about it and want to cut it. You know, they always talk about how moral they are. Well, I think it's moral to try and feed people that are in dire straits. But anyway, it's a dual program. It helps the poor get food, but it's also a win-win for the farmers and the farm states. And Humphrey knew that was a good thing for the farm states like Minnesota, and it was his idea. He had a lot of ideas that Kennedy used, too, like the Peace Corps. But anyways, he gave it to Bob Dole, the conservative from the farm state, to get us through he needed a conservative to get us through Washington. So anyways, Republicans always going after food stamps. I think we should hit them hard on that. Maybe let's think through some of the rural areas that we need.
Good points there, Gary. Now, before you go, I got to put you on the spot. Do you have any jokes to tell us to wrap it up, Gary?
Well, I got to keep them clean, right?
I'm not letting you go until you tell us a joke
here. Wait a minute, I got one in the back of my mind. Why do golfers wear two pair of pants?
Why?
Because they might get a hole in one.
Oh, no. Well done. All right. Hey, thanks for keeping it clean, too, there, Gary.
Okay, see ya.
Hey, see you later, Gary.
One point on Gary's point is really, when it comes to food stamps, I want to focus on the morality of it. Are we going to, in a first world power, are we going to allow people to starve? Does the funding even matter at that point? Is that the priority of where we want to cut our budget and make ends meet? For me, no.
And if you're just looking at it from a pure fiscal perspective, as Gary said, that actually really benefits rural Minnesota and mm-hmm. rural areas with the farmers. So that's a discussion we can maybe get to another day. But for now, we're going to take a break and have this week's Art Beat with Lori Fitz.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show. And this week I'm featuring two plays soon to open at the Park Square Theater in St. Paul. Ken Ludwig's Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery, is playing from June 15th to August 5th. This game's afoot in this hilarious thriller that's anything but elementary. From the award-winning mastermind of mayhem, Ken Ludwig's play is a fast-paced comedy about everyone's favorite detective solving Sherlock's most notorious case. Five actors play over 40 comical characters, filling the stage with suspects, allies, and heirs. When the wealthy Henry Baskerville is threatened by the fable of the bloodthirsty hound on the moors, the female duo of Holmes and Watson are on the case to sniff out the culprit. Theo Langison, the show's director, shared Sherlock is a fascinating character. Intuition, ingenuity, and intelligence. It's a role in the pantheon of superheroes. I mean, without Sherlock Holmes, is it possible to have Batman? I relish the challenge of tweaking audience expectations while staying true to the core of the Holmes story that keeps winning fans generation after generation. The next show up will be French Twist, playing June 22nd to July 15th. Directed and choreographed by Joe Shavala, this Comet Dance Theater will be at Park Square on the Andy Boss Thrust Stage. Immerse yourself in gorgeous music, theatrical storytelling, and percussive dance set in a Parisian nightclub. This mashup fuses vaudeville, tap, cabaret, follies, and opera to evoke Americans' wildest imaginings of life in the City of Light. Learn more tomorrow about both these shows on Connections Radio Show, airing 9 a.m. Saturday mornings on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet Zero Res cleaned for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 72. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 90. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 90. Nokomis Cycle is the hardest working bike shop in town. They help with flats and all sorts of bike maintenance. Celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. At the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find out more at nokomiscycle.com.
The progressive voice of Minnesota, the producer run show during the 4 o'clock hour here during drive time on your Friday afternoon. Very hot day outside. I biked in here and I'm afraid I'm going to be dripping in sweat as I try to head home here.
I had to change into an AM 950 shirt because I dressed like the weather was the week, this whole week. Cool, kind of rainy.
You had like two or three layers on. What's up with that?
Yeah, I had a black shirt, dress shirt, and then a jean jacket. I'm like, oh no. As soon as I started doing the weather, I was like, I got to change immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Sam, how's the weather been treating you?
I enjoy this.
You enjoy the heat?
I'm pretty pumped. The past years, I never had AC in my car, and this is the first year I have, so I'm totally okay with this. Let's keep going.
And that's rough because I know, work part-time as a pizza delivery guy. That'd be hot on some of these hot summer days.
Yeah, I've had some summers where it's just all windows down and you're still just, oh man, too hot.
I suppose
you
never have to give refund those for having a cold pizza.
Yeah, the pizza never gets cold at least in the summer.
Exactly. Well, hey, getting back on subject here, we're talking politics and the governor's race. Last couple segments, we've been touching on the GOP race and Tim Pawlenty and Jeff Johnson and their chances and how they're going to affect down ballot Republicans. I want to switch gears, though, now and talk a little bit about the DFL race for governor, which, of course, had a dramatic change during the DFL state convention a couple weeks ago when it initially looked like we'd have a three-way race between Rebecca Otto, Tim Walz, and Aaron Murphy. Of course, at the convention, Rebecca Otto dropped out. And then we had Attorney General Lori Swanson, a very heavy hitter candidate, joined the race, and she really changed the dynamic. And I know, Hunter, you can touch on that a little bit and kind of some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that was a big move. I mean, it changed the dynamic of the governor's race as well as several other races down the ballot. Now, the past year, we had a three-way progressive battle between Murphy, Otto, and Liebling. And now the race has really shifted with a solidified progressive ticket backing Murphy, and then a more of a divided traditional Democrat, and then Northern Minnesota with Lori Swanson choosing Rick Nolan as her running mate, possibly dividing some of the Walz base. So I want to know from the listeners what they think of this change of dynamic and who they think has the clearest path to winning the primary.
Well, and here's another aspect I wanted to bring up as well regarding the DFL primary race. You and I were talking about this before the show. I think it's also important to look at not only who can win in 2018, and again, referencing something I talked about earlier, I just think the way the political winds are set up this year, that a DFLer probably is going to win the race no matter what, just because it's typically what happens in midterms years of presidents where the president's party doesn't do very well. What I want to focus on is between Aaron Murphy, Tim Walz, and Lori Swanson. Who has a chance, if they win election here in 2018, to win re-election in 2022? Because if you look at it this way, if things go the way that the Democrats want them to go, where they retake the White House in 2020, that sets up 2022 as a midterm election. That would be very friendly for Republicans, similar to what Barack Obama faced in 2010, where, of course, Republicans did very well. They took both houses of the legislature here in Minnesota. Mark Dayton thankfully won the governorship because we would basically be Wisconsin West if Tom Emmer had won the governorship in 2010. But I think that's a question that I'd like to hear from you on. Who could win not only in 2018, but also in 2022?
I like where your head's at, some three-dimensional chess. I heard recently that Democrats play chess and Republicans play dodgeball. So they just hawk a dodgeball at the chessboard.
Well, see, that doesn't always work out so well for Democrats as well. Sometimes we do end up overthinking our strategy and it ends up burning us.
Yeah. But that is a good point because it'll be a much different landscape that next election. So should we be thinking of a candidate best to represent down the road? Because we want to keep this for 8 years.
Yeah, because you certainly don't want to turn things over to a potential Republican governor, let's say in 2022. Now, again, we are projecting that a Democrat probably will win in 2018, but strange things can happen. But if we do have a Democratic governor here in 2018, can they win re-election in 2022? That's what I want to focus on.
And I'm just curious of what was Lori Swanson's thinking in choosing Rick Nolan when Walz would seem to have that voter bloc kind of solidify from the past
year?
Yeah, the northern Minnesota. You'd think choosing one of the other progressive candidates that dropped out earlier might have been a move to make, since that's where the battle had been taking place. Walz voters were kind of in place. I haven't seen any polls of where this is at right now.
No, I was actually looking today. Yeah, there's really nothing in terms of polling.
So it's pure speculation, but I think it's an interesting question of how this is shaping up and how it's changed since the convention.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how those polls shape up, if they release any. I mean, we're only, less than 2 months away from that primary.
Another thing that would be interesting is to see the primary numbers for the DFL and the GOP. See how many voters show up to these
things.
Yeah,
if you're measuring voter enthusiasm, yeah. Because sometimes that can be skewed if you have a competitive primary versus a non-competitive primary. But
both are very competitive, I'd say.
I mean, I think GOP voters are certainly going to be very motivated to either vote for Tim Pawlenty or Jeff Johnson. At least what I've seen, people have very strong feelings about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any thoughts on that issue and Democrats and how they should run for governor in 2018, and should we even be thinking about the 2022 possible re-election of a Democratic governor? Give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're also on Facebook as well. I've neglected to check the Facebook feed. We'll have to maybe look at that during the commercial break to see if we've gotten any comments on there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
By the way, hello, if you are watching on Facebook, there's nothing like having radio with a camera. I guess that just means it's television, doesn't it?
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got some nice, couple nice comments here, some good compliments. So.
Well, always Facebook. Good to have positive comments. Yeah, we don't have any Russian trolls that end with like the last name OV.
Not yet. I'm waiting for them. I know it's going to happen.
Absolutely. So 952-946-6205 is the call-in number here at AM 950. If you have any thoughts on the governor's race for the DFL side, or if you want to go back and talk about Tim Pawlenty and Jeff Johnson, certainly love to give your thoughts on that as well. I want to switch gears just a little bit right now since I talked about this earlier in the show. So there's been a bit of a controversy in terms of Senator Tina Smith and also our other Senator Amy Klobuchar in terms of a land swap that they endorsed that has to do with polymet mining, which really has rubbed a lot of Democratic activists and also kind of that environmental caucus the wrong way. A lot of people have been saying, well, is she doing this for strategy to try to win in northern Minnesota for Tina Smith, or does she actually, you know, support this land swap? So I'd like to get your thoughts on that strategy as well. I know we've had a couple of callers that have some very strong feelings on that. So we do have a caller that doesn't want to go on air but wants to hear you talk about polymet. That's, of course, what we're talking about right now.
Just perfect timing, yeah.
Perfect timing, yeah, absolutely. So I'm just curious about that strategy where can you appeal to northern Minnesota voters by saying, and the Iron Range voters, just by saying, well, you know, I support this polymet swap. I'm kind of lukewarm on it. What are your thoughts on that, Hunter?
I mean, I'm curious, too, of why that decision is made, because for both of them, they have fairly safe elections this year. And anecdotally, what I've noticed as a result of this is a lot more support for Richard Painter from people who were totally mm-hmm. against him at first. So it is a curious move to me, and I do see the reasoning, but is it worth it?
Yeah, and just to get you a little more background information about this land swap that was endorsed by Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar, also, by the way, endorsed by a couple of our Democratic congressmen as well, I believe Rick Nolan and Tim Walz also on board. But basically, this is from the MinnPost article. The land exchange is a prerequisite for PolyMet to build a copper-nickel mine, the first mine of its kind in Minnesota near Hoyt Lakes. Smith and other supporters of the land swap, which has already been approved by most of Minnesota's House delegation, say that it's not an explicit endorsement of any mine, nor does it hinder any existing review process. See, that's where I kind of think they might run into issues on being kind of lukewarm on that. Do you actually appeal to any of those Iron Range voters? Because if you look at a comment from Tina Smith's likely Republican opponent, Karen Housley, she says Smith is pandering and doesn't truly have miners' interests at heart. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well. 952-946-6205.
And you can't argue that Tim Walz has had success in that district, and he has voted for this, so he may know what's going on there.
I think you're thinking of Rick Nolan, actually, up in CDA.
Rick Nolan.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because if this Polymet mine does actually go through, I mean, there's some really bad benefits, including the fact that Polymet is basically a subsidiary of Glencore, who is a big multinational, international corporation, I should say. Not just multinational, I believe it's international, whatever you call that, I think. But they've had all sorts of problems in terms of environmental issues all around the world. I know they've had some big oil spills in Canada. So if that land swap goes through, that could possibly pave the way for that Polymet mine, which could be some big problems in terms of the environment up in northern Minnesota. 952-946-6205 is the call-in number here at AM 950. We're going to go ahead and take another break. And when we return, we're going to switch gears one more time and talk about how you can get involved, not only in election campaigns, but also in terms of politics in general and how you can really learn about the process. And of course, we'll also talk about some stupid Trump news as well, because, well, it's just fun. Anyways, you're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Back in a few minutes. Playgrounds and the animals and
digging up worms. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows nobody loves summer more than us Minnesotans. We also love being smart with our money, which is why during June we're offering our AC performance tune-up for $25 off. We're also offering savings of $700 on new AC systems. It all adds up to a lot of reasons to love summer even more. Call for an appointment and spend the season in cool comfort. Some restrictions apply. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating, the comfort you deserve.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the producer-hosted Drive Time show here on your Friday afternoon. Very hot day, some thunderstorms on the way, but looking like an even hotter weekend coming up. So get outdoors, but stay safe.
Should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So switching gears now, I wanted to talk about how, and I know Hunter and Sam, you guys are going to get into more details on this, about how you can become locally involved, not just in political campaigns, but also the political process. And this especially is a great program that we're going to talk about in just a second that can really get young people involved in the process, especially in the wake of the Parkland shooting, where we've seen a lot more high school age students really get engaged in politics and the gun safety issue. And Hunter, Sam, I know when you guys were younger, I won't say how many years ago when you were in high school, but you guys were involved in what's called a PAGE program that got you really into the political process. Tell us a little bit more about that, Hunter.
Yeah, so every session they offer a high school PAGE program where you basically write a short paper, about a 1-page paper, and they select, they don't have much interest in this, actually, which is why I wanted to talk about it. But when you're selected, you participate on the House floor delivering legislation to Congress people.
So this is actually when the legislator is in session, correct?
Yeah, at the Minnesota State Capitol. And so you work alongside the paid pages doing the exact same job as them. You witness what committees are like and what working on the House floor is. And it's a phenomenal experience. Me and Sam, we just found out today that we both participated at when we were in high school.
Yeah, how funny is that? This was not planned until we just came in.
Yeah.
You were a page two? Oh, well, there we go. Perfect.
Well, see, the bad part is I've never heard of this program before,
exactly.
But this seems like a great way to get involved in politics. Like I said, beyond campaigning, because, I mean, voting's a great thing to do, but it's kind of the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Actually learning about the process is how you can really get informed on the issues and get passionate about politics, because I think, at least I have a lot of friends my age that know the presidential candidates, and that's about it. But this is a great way to learn more about the process.
If you have a teenager and they participate in this, they will know more than 98% of the general public in this country about how government works. The other thing I want to mention, too, is there's another program through high schools called Youth in Government, which you act as a mock congressperson, basically. You write a bill, you go to a committee, and then you vote at the Minnesota State Capitol again on the House floor with fellow students of the same age, and you pass legislation. When I was in youth in government, one of my favorite bills that passed was we changed the name of Minnesota to East Dakota. So for the rest of the youth in government session, they had to refer to it as East Dakota.
So I got to ask you, what was the reasoning behind changing the name to East Dakota?
It's just a bill someone thought of that gained a lot of momentum because everyone really loved it. I voted for it.
You voted for it. All right.
Yeah. But with these things, it's summer right now and young kids have more time. Matt talks often about getting involved with campaigns outside of your district if you're living in already a blue district. So try and get your kids involved with swapping out a seat. Like, target some of these Republicans that are up or open seats where there's no incumbent going.
No incumbent Republican, ones that maybe have retired or decided not to seek re-election.
And then there's also groups that meet regularly all throughout the state. I'm a part of Indivisible in Chaska. We meet every 2 weeks, and we have a solid group of just people that show up all the time. Maggie, who was on Matt's show, actually spoke at our Indivisible group this week, so that was great to hear her on today. And Our Revolution, a spinoff from the Bernie Sanders campaign, they also have chapters throughout the state, and it's a great way to get involved really at any age, but if you have a kid or you are a teenager that's interested in doing these programs, those will help you on your way.
And with those Indivisible programs, I mean, you can pretty much Google Indivisible MN and find your local chapter and get involved with them. But just going back to your page program, how do people learn more information about that and possibly get registered?
So that is, it comes out through the Secretary of State closer to session time. So look for that. December, January, February.
Mm-hmm.
When that comes out, be sure to post it on the AM950 Facebook and Twitter. Get you guys engaged. But yeah, just be on the lookout for that. And youth in government should be offered through the high school. So they'll make announcements at your school.
Well, it's really just about teaching civics, because even adults really know nothing about civics. I mean,
it's such an eye-opener when you actually get to go and you're sitting, I think it's a week long, you know, and you can stay at the Kelly, or it's not the Kelly anymore, but there's a hotel that all the legislatures come and stay when they're in session, and you're in that same area, and like you see all the tunnels underneath the Capitol and all the things, and you go, like Hunter said, you sit in on committee sessions. Like, a lot of the stuff you read about it in a book, and it's one thing, but then when you're actually like there and you get to really see and be a part of it, well, kind of be a part of it, but
yeah, it goes beyond.
You feel like you're a part of it.
Yeah, it goes beyond just seeing that R or that D on the ballot.
Yes.
You actually get to see what they do and how they're representing you. One last question. How long does the program actually last?
The high school page program is a week-long program where you participate the full week.
Mm-hmm.
You have long days that week, but you get excused from school.
You get time
off
school.
I would imagine
school.
So, yeah.
That will get, if they're not interested in politics, maybe the time off school will get them.
There's the next motivation, absolutely.
Or I met a girlfriend from there, too. So you love her time off school. There's a lot of reasons.
Romantic interests. There's another motivation.
There you go.
All right. As promised earlier in the program, we only have a few minutes left before this producer show ends. And I'm looking around. The station isn't on fire. We're not underwater. Okay. Yeah.
It looks intact.
The police aren't here yet.
Yeah, that's right. Just don't buzz them in if they show up there. But what I was talking about, we got to get to our stupid Trump news for today. We only got a few minutes left. And this story, oh my gosh, just shows how much of a toddler Donald Trump can behave like. This is a story about Donald Trump and paper shredding. It's reported from Politico and a couple of former Donald Trump staffers that apparently when Donald Trump receives any paper document, once he's done reading it, he literally just tears up the piece of paper into tiny pieces, throws it on the floor, and just moves on. And what's funny about this is that apparently there's staffers that have to follow around Donald Trump with masking tape where they have to pick up these documents and actually reassemble them because it's part of, I think, the, I forgot the name of the act, but you basically have to hang on to these documents for archiving purposes. But I just find it hilarious that there's actually these people following around Donald Trump with pieces of masking tape.
I like how it's easier for them to hire more staff than for him to change his behavior.
And what's unreal about this, too, when I was reading the Politico article, which, by the way, you can just Google it and find it, is that apparently at one point there was 10, get this, 10 full-time staffers that were doing nothing except putting and piecing together
documents.
Yeah, that Donald Trump had ripped up.
I was trying to find it, too. I can't find the title, but I remember when I heard the story originally, it has some, like, funny or just, like, some official, really official-sounding title. And really, that's all they're doing is going around repairing the madness.
One of the guys doing this. This is the guy that I think was quoted in the political article, looking for his name, not finding it here. But yeah, he was making like well over six figures to do nothing. He had some official archiving title, which was supposed to be very glamorous, where you're actually, you know, looking at these presidential documents, figuring out what you want to send to the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be just taking ripped up pieces of paper and then throwing them back together. And the whole irony about this, too, is that if you're a Republican voter and you were mad about Hillary Clinton deleting emails, shouldn't you be infuriated that Donald Trump, whenever he gets a piece of paper, when he's done reading it, he rips it up and just throws it on the ground and moves on?
His presidential museum is going to just be filled with ripped up pieces of paper that are all clearly scotch taped together. And,
yeah. And a plaque. These are the... to those employees, the Secretary of White House wastes.
Yeah, I'm just picturing his Smithsonian exhibit where you're seeing these pieces of paper, yeah, where you can clearly see the masking tape, the scotch tape, whatever he uses. I'm sure Scotch, the brand, has got to be thrilled about this.
Yeah,
the monuments of Donald Trump after he's president will be hilarious. Whatever they are, they will be hilarious.
If we make it there.
Hopefully by 2020, but I guess we'll have to see. Wow. Already at the end of the show.
Wow, that flew.
Only 20 seconds left.
Felt good being here.
Absolutely, the other side of the glass. You've been listening to AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the producer-hosted show with Brett Johnson, Hunter Haas, Sam Terberg. Thanks, guys, for helping out today.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, awesome. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Absolutely.